Listen to what the story says and learn what the story teaches. Listen to what the story says and learn what the story teaches. Moral of the story. Moral of the story. Moral of the story. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani channel, welcome to our silsila entitled Moral of the Story. In this silsila, alhamdulillah, our aim is to take one particular incident, one story, one waqia narration from the books of the scholars, and inshallah we're going to discuss that story, that narration, that incident, and then try to learn what madani flowers we can derive from that story, meaning what we learn and what we can implement in our lives. So inshallah like in these silsilas, today as well we're going to focus on one particular story, and then we're going to discuss what we learn from this story. Before I move on to the story, like always in every silsila, based upon the teachings of Shaykh Tariqat Sayyidi Amir Ahl Sunnat, we always start with a blessing of reciting Durood-e-Pak upon the best of creation, the noble Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Thus the Prophet alayhi salatu wa salam, he says in a blessed hadith, words to the effect that decorate your gatherings by reciting durood upon me, for this durood will be noor, yani light for you on the day of judgment. So all the brothers here, the viewers of Madani channel at home as well, if all of us with love and devotion in our hearts, with the image of the beautiful green dome of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our minds, let's all of us recite durood pak together. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. Imam Ghazali mentions in his book Ihya'ul Ulum a story from the time of Sayyidina Isa Ruhullah ala Nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, that he was on one occasion traveling with on a journey, and this man was accompanying him on his journey, traveling with him. And during the journey, there came a point when it was time for them to have some food. And Hazrat Isa alayhi salam instructed this man to purchase some food from the market. The man goes, he takes the money, and with the money he buys 3 loaves of bread. How many loaves of bread? Three. Remember this, because this is crucial in the story. He goes and buys 3 loaves of bread. When he comes back, on his way, this thought enters his mind that there are 3 loaves of bread and we're going to share them, and when we eat them, perhaps I won't get enough food to satisfy my hunger. So what does he do? He eats one of the loaves of bread himself, and he takes back to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam 2 loaves of bread. Now Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam, without asking him anything else, without having seen anything, immediately the question he asks him is, what happened to the 3rd loaf of bread? And he was a prophet of Allah, he knew already that there were 3 loaves. This man, he only brought 2. The man, he replies that there was no 3rd loaf of bread. There was only 2. Sayyidina Isa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam did not debate with him, did not argue with him. He says, okay, no problem. So they ate the food, 1 loaf of bread each, and then they continued their journey. And at this moment, the Prophet of Allah, Hazrat Isa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, he allowed him to accompany him. And they came to another place where there was an animal, a deer, and he was killed, sacrificed, and they took the meat from this animal, they cooked the meat, and they ate it as well. Afterwards, after they had all eaten the food, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam ordered that animal, the deer, through the will of Allah Azza wa Jal, to come back to life. And people there were amazed at this miracle, that this animal that they had just killed, they had eaten, was brought back to life. At this point, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam turned back to that man and said to him that by the name of he who brought this animal back to life after death, yeah, in his name, by the name of him, I ask you, who ate the third loaf of bread? And that man, he still replied the same answer, and he says that there was no third loaf of bread, there was only two. Then Hazrat Isa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, they continued with their journey, and they came to a river, and there was no means of crossing this river. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, he said to his companions, hold my hands. They held his hands, and they crossed the river by walking on top of the water. Again, everybody was amazed, and again Hazrat Isa alayhi salam turned to this man and he says, I ask you by the name of he who made it possible for us to cross this river by walking on the water, who ate the third loaf of bread? Again, this man, he replied that there was no third loaf of bread, there was only two. Again, they continued with their journey. Then they come to another place, and there are three piles of sand, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam commands for those three rocks of sand to be turned into gold. And immediately as he says this, those three piles, they become gold immediately. Again, everybody is amazed. And then Hazrat Isa alayhi salam says that we're going to distribute these amongst ourselves. He says, I will keep one pile of gold. And to the man he says, you keep another pile of gold. And there's one pile of gold left. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam says that that third pile of gold is for that person who ate the third loaf of bread. Now this man who's been lying all the way through, now this thought enters his mind that that third pile of gold could be mine. So at this point he proclaims, he says to Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, it was me. I was the one who ate the third loaf of bread, so that he could get the third pile of gold. At this point, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam says to him that take all three piles of gold. You can take all of them, but from this moment onwards, you can no longer be my companion on this journey. You can take all three piles of gold, but you are no longer my companion on this journey. They departed company. Now that man at this moment in time, he does not realize what he's just deprived himself of. He's happy, he's in his mind thinking, I've got all three piles of gold, what more do I want? While he sat there, in his mind thinking of plans of how he's going to use this wealth, what use he's going to make with all this money, this gold, he's in the middle of nowhere, effectively. There's three men come close by, and these people are with the intention of robbing him. They see one guy with three piles of gold. Easy target for them. So they set upon him, they kill him, and they take the three piles of gold for themselves. Then what happens? Three men with three piles of gold. Simple equation, one each takes one each. But again, the love of dunya enters their mind as well. What they say to each other is that we've got this gold, we'll decide what to do with it, let's have some food first. They send one of them to go and buy some food. The other two remain to guard the gold. Now the two who was behind, they start discussing with themselves, at the moment we're splitting this gold three ways. If we got rid of the other guy, we can split it two ways, so there's more for both of us. So they're planning their mind, what, that when this guy comes back, we'll kill him, we'll share the gold between ourselves. The other guy on the way to the market, because he has love for the dunya in his heart and his mind as well, he's thinking the same thing. He thinks to himself that at the moment we're splitting it three ways. If I somehow manage to get rid of these two, all the gold is mine. So what does he do? He buys the food, but he puts poison in the food as well, with that intention. Brings it back. What happens? He comes back The other two have made their plan to set upon him. They set upon him, they kill him. Then they sit down, take the food that he's bought to enjoy the food. What happens? They eat the food and both of them die as well. Now, at that same place, Sayyidina Isa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, he walks by there again with his companions. And what does he see? There is four dead bodies, four people who have died, and the three piles of gold. And at this moment, Hazrat Isa ala nabiyyina wa alayhi salatu wa salam, he says that this is what happens if you seek for worldly goods in this life. This is what happens if you seek worldly goods in this life, in the dunya. Now that is in the story, my dear Islamic brothers, which contains within it many lessons for us. So I'm going to ask our viewers of Madani Channel at home to reflect upon this, and let's think to ourselves that from this whole waqia, from this narration, what we can learn from this and what we can apply in our lives. Is there anybody who would like to share what they might have learned from this story?
What I've learned from this story is that if we fall in love with dunya, though the possessions are ours at the moment, we don't know how long we're going to have that possession for. And say if we build big houses and we just focus our entire life on building big houses, having nice cars, having our lands, beautifying the dunya and not our akhirah, then one day when we die, someone else is going to take what we've just beautified and we'll be left with nothing. So what we should do, as what I've learned, is that we should focus more on the akhirah. Obviously, we do have a portion of the dunya as well, but we shouldn't keep that as our main goal. We should actually focus on the akhirah, because the akhirah's valuables and possessions that we could gain from there will be with us forever, and it would not default us, or it would not negate us in any shape or form.
A beautiful point there, mashallah, made by the brother about deen and dunya. Yeah? Yani, if we strive all our life just for dunya, yeah? Beautiful house, beautiful car parked in the drive, the latest model, nice clothes, designer clothes, expensive ones, it's a nice watch, and those kind of things that are materialistic, yeah? The truth is, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, that all of these materialistic things, they are with us in the dunya, yeah? We can take benefit of them in the dunya, but the moment we take our last breath, that's it, finished. Yeah, the designer clothes on our body, the expensive designer watch that we wear, the 200, 300 pound trainers or shoes that we wear, the car that's worth thousands of pounds parked in our drive, and the house that we built like a mansion, and all those kotiyan that we built in our home country, all of these are not going to help us. Us, like everybody else, we will be made to wear a coffin, no designer clothes, a coffin in which we will go into our graves. And our grave will be the same size as everybody else as well. You will have never been to a graveyard and seen a gravestone which says that this person used to wear a designer suit. This person used to drive a 90,000 pound car. Nobody's gravestone says how they lived their life. Because you don't take that with you into your grave. What we take with us, like the brother said, we take with us our actions, our a'mal. Good and bad actions will be with us in the grave, will be with us on the day of judgment, will be with us in the hereafter. And that is the lesson, one of the lessons of this story, that we must focus our entire life not just on our dunya but on our deen as well, my dear brothers. Is there anybody else who would like to say something? Ji.
Another point to be learned from this story is not to lie. As we've heard, the main reason all of this started was because he lied about the loaf of bread. If he had just come out with the truth and not lied, maybe he wouldn't have ended up in the situation that he ended up in.
Subhanallah, another beautiful point made by the brother. One lesson that comes shining out of this story is telling the truth, speaking the truth. Yeah? Speaking the truth, my dear Islamic brothers, becomes a part of your character. Yeah? You know, often if you tell one lie, then you have to tell another 10 lies in order to cover up that first lie. Yeah? And a person who gets known by people for lying, yeah, he'll come to such a point that when he speaks, nobody will have any trust in what he says because he lies so much. Yeah? And same thing happened here. The first lie he told, he had to tell so many other lies in order to maintain that lie as well. So this is something else that we learn from this waqia as well. Anybody else? Ji.
As humans, we need to live in this dunya, walk in this dunya, earn, sleep, everything in this dunya. So our question arises, okay, how do we balance deen and dunya?
Very interesting question and an interesting point the brother raises about the balance between deen and dunya. Okay, we have to live here, we have to work, we have to earn. Some youngsters here in the UK go through college, university, they study, they get degrees, they get qualifications, they become professionals. How do we maintain that balance? The first point to make here is that our religion, the beautiful religion of Islam, the most beautiful religion, the correct religion, does not tell us to completely neglect every other duty and just focus upon learning deen or practicing deen. No. If we look at the beautiful history of Islam, if you study the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, I'll give you one example, that after the Muslims migrated from the city of Makkah, following the persecution and the troubles that they faced, and they migrated to the beautiful city of Medina. After migration, one of the first things that was ordered by the Prophet ﷺ was the establishment of the masjid. Yeah? The first thing was the masjid. And then after the mosque and the religious affairs had been taken care of, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam ordered for the establishment of a marketplace. Now look at the hikmat in this, my dear brothers. The establishment of a marketplace so that the Muslims could trade with one another, so that the Muslims would become financially stronger as well, and as the Muslims became financially stronger, they could give benefit to the deen in that way as well. And the ulama, the scholars teach us that this lesson, what this waqia teaches us, is that deen and dunya, yeah? But what takes preference? Always the preference is for my deen. My identity, my pehchan, is not the fact that I'm a businessman, or that I'm a lawyer, or that I'm a doctor. My first pehchan, my true identity is that I'm a Muslim, yes? That I'm an Aashiq-e Rasool. I am a follower, I'm ambassador of the religion of Islam. And they came, we live in this dunya. The brother said, look, we have to live here, provide for our family, we eat, sleep, we have to clothe ourselves, we need a car, we need a house. Yeah? There's a beautiful example given here by the ulama. If we really understand this and apply this in our lives, my dear brothers and viewers of Madani channel, then this would give us real benefit. The example that the ulama give is that of a boat, a ship traveling on water. Yeah? Now that ship or that boat, it needs the water in order to sail. Without the water, the boat will not be able to cross its path, reach its destination. Yeah? Our lives in this dunya, us, we are the example of the ship. We need the dunya, i.e. we need earning rizqi halal, we have the need for a car, for a house, for all of these things in order to live in this dunya. Yeah? In the same way that the boat needs the water. But if the water at any point enters that ship, yeah, there's a hole in the deck, the water enters the ship, the water enters inside the boat, what will happen is that boat will sink. In the same way, this dunya, if the love of this dunya enters our heart, yeah, then this love of this dunya can make us sink as well, because then what will happen is dunya will take priority over our deen. So the beautiful example that the ulama give is like the ship on water. The ship needs the water to a certain extent in order to reach its destination. But when that water, when the love of the dunya enters a person's heart, in the way that the ship will sink, my dear brothers, it is a risk that the love of this dunya would make us sink as well and destroy us. Because if we spend our life just chasing this dunya, when that moment of time comes, when the angel of death comes to us, like it comes to every single person, when that moment of time comes, then that will be a moment of regret for us. The time is now for us to worry about our hereafter, to prepare for our hereafter. And the hereafter is what we must strive for. Why? Because this dunya, this life is temporary. It's only a few moments. The example given by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to his companions, that if you were to dip your finger in the ocean and take your finger back out, then the few drops of water that you find on your finger, this is the misal, this is the example of your life in this dunya. And the rest of the water in that ocean, millions and billions of gallons of water, that is the example of the life in the hereafter. Now look at the comparison. Now definitely we would say that the smart person is he who prepares for the hereafter, not just for the temporary life that he's got in this dunya. So that is the lesson we take away from today's silsila, from today's story. The moral of the story, my dear brothers, being, let's not just spend our life worried about this dunya. Let's not just spend our life and let our legacy be that this guy, you know, when we leave the dunya, that people say this guy used to wear nice clothes. This guy always used to drive a sick car, beautiful, awesome car. Or that this guy, he lived in a massive mansion. What kind of legacy is that? Let our legacy be what we have done for our deen. Let our legacy be what a devout and dedicated Ashiqi Rasul we were. Let our legacy be, my dear brothers, how much we try to act upon the beautiful sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is something for all of us, for Madani channel viewers at home as well. If we look at our great history, the Sahaba, the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, why do we remember them today? 1400 years have passed, and today we have children, we name our children after them. Today we have gatherings in memory of them. Why? Because of what they did for their deen. That was their legacy. So this is the legacy that we want to leave as well. This is the moral of today's story that we've heard. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us all tawfiq to prepare for our hereafter. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the tawfiq to prepare for our death before our death comes to us. And may Allah Azza wa Jal give us istiqamat and this beautiful religion. And may Allah Azza wa Jal grant us success in both worlds. Ameen. Bijahin Nabiyyil Ameen. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم.
Listen to what the story says and learn what the story teaches. Moral of the story. Moral of the story.